Hi, my name is Dr. Ladd McNamara, and with me today is Molly Feeney, a laboratory representative with CMB Labs out of Orange County, California.
Hi, thank you for asking me to join you today, Dr. McNamara, for this important subject.
Well, you're welcome, Molly, because I want to tell people that over the next 35 to 40 minutes, you're going to learn how you, Molly, and you, the listener, can accurately test to see if you're at increased risk for heart disease and stroke, and more importantly, what you can do about it. And it may not be what you think. It involves testing for your oxidized LDL cholesterol, a test that I'm very sure you've never been offered, but could make a huge difference in what actions you take, of whether you supplement, eat better, exercise, or not.
There are more tests that Dr. McNamara and I recommend than just the oxidized LDL cholesterol, but testing your oxidized LDL cholesterol is one of the most, if not the most predictive lab test for cardiovascular disease.
Wow, everyone, I hope you heard that, because research shows that oxidized LDL cholesterol appears to play a major role in being the most predictive blood test for your risk of heart disease and stroke. And it's not being offered to any of you.
Until now.
That's right. Cardiovascular disease is the major cause of death of both men and women, leading to premature death from heart attacks and stroke. According to the CDC, approximately 750,000 people die every year in the United States from heart disease and stroke. That's nearly 2,000 people per day.
Think about 5 fully loaded jumbo jets crashing across America every day, day in and day out. 5 jumbo jets go down, killing all the passengers and all the crew. I know it's a horrifying thought, but I use this analogy to hopefully shake you out of your possible complacent thinking about the number of people dying every day of cardiovascular disease.
Wow, a terrifying thought indeed. And just as terrifying are the hundreds of thousands of people dying every year needlessly. For over 40 years, the main focus of both doctors and pharmaceutical companies has been to reduce your LDL cholesterol, presumably to reduce the risk of death from heart disease. And after 40 years of lowering LDL cholesterol, you would think that cardiovascular disease would have been deposed from its ignominious reign as the king of death of both men and women.
Isn't it true that even today, Dr. McNamara, 1 out of 2 men and women die prematurely from heart disease and stroke, and it's mostly avoidable?
Yes, Molly, it's true. Cardiovascular disease is the most common cause of death of both men and women, and it is largely avoidable, or at least premature death from it is avoidable. Obviously, you must exercise and eat right, and it is important to reduce stress and get quality restorative sleep. And fortunately, more and more people are understanding the role of quality supplements in maintaining heart and vascular health.
And that's where the blood work can come in, especially testing what we're proposing today, to help you know you're on the right track, to help you know that your lifestyle changes are having a positive effect, even so you can know that your supplements are effective.
Yes, most people have had their cholesterol levels checked. If you've been told that your LDL cholesterol is normal, you may feel you're not at risk for heart disease. Well, don't get too comfortable. Did you know that the majority of people who die from atherosclerotic heart disease do not even have an elevated LDL cholesterol? It's true, over half of all people who die from cardiovascular heart disease have normal LDL cholesterol levels. Everything was fine, right up until the time they died prematurely of a heart attack.
Just a minute, Dr. McNamara. Are you saying that even if my LDL cholesterol is normal, I could still be in danger of heart disease? I just had my yearly checkup and had all my blood work done. My doctor told me that all my blood work looked great, including my cholesterol. You're saying I'm still at risk?
Yes, you could be. Over 1/3 of people who developed heart disease in the Framingham study who ended up with heart disease were not even identified as being at risk through standard lipid testing, meaning the regular HDL and LDL cholesterol tests most of you are getting on a regular basis. However, current data suggests that many patients at risk for coronary artery disease could be identified, ones who ordinarily would not be, by adding an oxidized LDL cholesterol test to their profile and comparing it to your HDL cholesterol level.
I think that is extremely important, yet it's so simple. But Dr. McNamara, I exercise, I eat healthy, and I feel just fine. Now I'm kind of nervous that I'm not doing everything I need to do to take care of myself. What more can I do? Of course, I'm also on the high-quality, full-spectrum nutritional supplement program that you've recommended.
Well, you're probably fine, Molly, but I suggest you also check your oxidized LDL cholesterol and homocysteine levels to be sure. Actually, check your oxidized LDL cholesterol to HDL cholesterol ratio, and I'll tell you why in just a few minutes. But to address your concern, Molly, although you've made proper lifestyle changes, unfortunately, most people are not. They're not exercising regularly, eating healthy, reducing stress, getting restorative sleep, and certainly most people are not taking a full spectrum and balance of quality bioavailable nutritional supplements. And that is very concerning. In a particular study, obese and diabetic research subjects were found to have increased blood levels of oxidized LDL. According to this well-documented study by Nina Johnston et al., in March 2006 issue of the American Journal of Cardiology, the oxidized LDL to HDL cholesterol ratio test was found to be superior among all blood testing for discriminating between apparent healthy men and women without evidence of coronary artery disease and patients with coronary artery disease. In other words, people who were thought not to be at an increased risk of heart disease because they had a normal LDL cholesterol level were in fact at significant increased risk when their oxidized LDL to HDL cholesterol ratios were examined. And as opposed to what is promoted day in and day out on TV and at your doctor's offices, research and statistics show that simply lowering LDL cholesterol with a statin drug does not significantly reduce your risk of death from cardiovascular disease.
I thought it did.
Well, you wouldn't know it due to the continual push for you to take cholesterol-lowering statin drugs, which are the pharmaceutical company's biggest success story. That is, in terms of profit. Statin drugs are the number one selling class of drugs in the world and the most profitable for Big Pharma.
What's Big Pharma?
It's what the pharmaceutical companies are called collectively. Currently, there are over 30 million Americans on a statin drug, and at least another 14 million people worldwide taking this class of drug, producing well over $35 billion per year in sales, according to Forbes. Americans are bombarded by commercials and told by their doctors that they need to be on a cholesterol-lowering statin drug if their LDL cholesterol is elevated. In addition, patients are told to be on a statin drug even if they have a normal level of LDL cholesterol, if they also have high blood pressure, diabetes, or an elevated C-reactive protein. And some doctors on the government panels have seriously suggested that statins are, quote, so good for you that we should put them in the water supply.
Hold on, Dr. McNamara. Before we start seeing statin drugs in the water supply, please tell everyone what you told me about the truth about statin drugs and oxidized LDL cholesterol.
Sure, Molly. Many researchers and doctors are seeing something different once they pull back the curtain of Big Pharma's apparent agenda. With a peek behind the curtain and digging into the research, the real risk factors for heart disease and stroke are revealed, as well as what can be done to reduce your risk of premature death. Armed with the facts, you can have an appropriate discussion with your doctor about the risks and benefits of statin drugs, where they are right for you, as well as the alternatives with the use of vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, and the omega-3 fatty acids such as fish oil.
Are you saying that people should not even be on statin drugs?
No, I'm not saying that. Everyone has to make their own decision. I'm just suggesting that if you're on a statin drug, then please talk to your doctor about the risks, benefits, and alternatives, particularly after listening to this CD, and definitely be on supplements, particularly coenzyme Q10. But consider having your doctor listen to this CD, or consider reading my book, The Cholesterol Conspiracy. Do your due diligence about your most valuable asset, your health and safety, and check out the medical references in my book so that you can make a wise decision with your doctor's help about preventative measures. Now, I admit there are benefits to statin drugs, but not as much as you would think by what is promoted on TV and how quickly doctors are to prescribe them. And consider this. According to a recent study published in the prestigious journal Cardiology, despite being on a statin drug, a person still has a substantial risk of cardiovascular disease.
Wow, I didn't know that. So what you're saying is people taking statin drugs still have, what was in the report, a substantial risk of heart disease?
Yes, it's amazing. People taking the statin drugs think they're safe, and it's just not so. And that does not include the potential side effects of the medication. Cholesterol-lowering statin drugs have the potential to damage muscles, including the heart, as it's mostly made of muscles. One has to ask, are statin drugs partially responsible for the rise in the incidence of congestive heart disease that has climbed steadily since 1987, the year that statin drugs were introduced into the population? And the most recent studies confirms the increased risk of type 2 diabetes from taking statin drugs.
Wow, I didn't know that. I knew there were a lot of potential side effects. Don't statin drugs block the formation of coenzyme Q10 in your body?
Yes, Molly, they do block coenzyme Q10, a very important vitamin antioxidant necessary for production of ATP energy molecules used by all cells, including muscle cells, especially the heart, as well as all other organs, including the liver, kidneys, and brain. And after a thorough review of the medical studies, one could conclude that statin drugs are overprescribed and that statins may not be as effective in saving as many lives as you might think.
Don't other doctors know this?
Yes, many do, but most don't. One such doctor I like to quote is Dr. James Wright. Dr. James Wright is a professor at the University of British Columbia and director of Government-Funded Therapeutics Initiative, whose job it is to pore over data on the effectiveness of drugs. He changed his prescribing habits of statin drugs after reviewing the medical data. Dr. Wright discovered that treating people who have high cholesterol without heart disease has no benefit in the majority of people. In fact, there is no benefit to prescribing statin drugs to men over 65 who do not have heart disease, no matter how much the drug may reduce their LDL cholesterol.
No benefit? No matter how much the drug lowered their LDL cholesterol?
That's what he found, and later it will become obvious why this is so. A hint? It has to do with the level of oxidized LDL cholesterol. Furthermore, Dr. Wright discovered there was only minimal benefit of statin drugs in men with heart disease. And among women with high cholesterol but without heart disease, there was no benefit in prescribing statin drugs at any age. And consider a group of 500 people who do not have heart disease but have high LDL cholesterol or some other risk factor such as high blood pressure or diabetes. The study showed that out of 500 people, 499 people have to be treated unnecessarily with a statin drug just to save one life.
So that means 499 people are being treated unnecessarily with a statin and being exposed to potential serious side effects of the drug?
Yes. And even though Dr. Wright saw a small reduction of the number of heart attacks among middle-aged men taking statin drugs, he found there was no overall reduction in total deaths, despite big reductions in LDL cholesterol. And Dr. Wright concluded, quote, most people are taking something with no chance of benefit and a risk of harm, unquote.
So what is the truth, and what should people do?
As mentioned, talk to your doctor. But may I suggest you first understand the true cause of heart disease? If you understand how atherosclerosis, that is plaque, develops, then you can do something about it, or at least have an intelligent conversation with your doctor.
In essence, statin drugs are produced to reduce the risk of cardiovascular disease, right?
Well, statin drugs were developed to target what was thought to be the true cause of heart disease, high LDL cholesterol. The problem is, despite the common perception, high LDL cholesterol is not the true underlying cause of cardiovascular disease, and statin drugs only accidentally address the real cause of heart disease on a small scale.
What do you mean by statin drugs accidentally address the real cause?
Well, the real cause of cardiovascular disease is oxidized LDL cholesterol, regardless of the level of LDL cholesterol. Statin drugs were designed to reduce the level of LDL cholesterol with dubious benefit, but they have also been found to have an effect on oxidized LDL that was not intended. It was an accidental thing that statin drugs exert a slight antioxidant effect. So here it is. The true cause of atherosclerosis, that is, heart disease and strokes, is oxidation and the resultant inflammation. Oxidative damage, oxidative stress, or simply oxidation, it's all the same, is the underlying cause as to why plaque is formed within the arterial wall. Without oxidation of the LDL cholesterol and arterial lining, there would be no inflammation. without oxidation of the LDL cholesterol and resultant inflammation of the arteries, there would be no calcification of the oxidized LDL and therefore no plaque accumulation. Without plaque, there would be no atherosclerosis, and heart disease and stroke would be rare. Molly, we've discussed oxidation, and most people are familiar with one type of oxidation.
Yes, the oxidation of metal, or rust.
Yes, well, how do rusted out machine parts or rusted out bike parts work?
Not very well.
Well, to say the least. Likewise, oxidation of your DNA, your cell membranes, your insulin receptors, and your LDL cholesterol causes them not to work very well. In fact, oxidation is the main cause for most cancers, cellular dysfunction, type 2 diabetes, as well as heart disease and stroke, and even the aging and wrinkling process. Fortunately, we can now test for oxidized LDL, which is what I've been pushing the lab you represent to add to their cardiac lipid panel for quite some time. And now it's here and I'm excited. And even more importantly, people are found to have high levels of oxidized LDL, can now take a full spectrum and generous doses of vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, and the omega-3 fatty acids that will help reduce the oxidation and even help improve the HDL levels.
I'm excited too, because now more than just knowing the fractions and subfractions of one's cholesterol, we can directly test for what is truly predictive of people's risk of heart disease and stroke.
Yes. Research shows that the most predictive blood test for coronary artery disease is the test called oxidized LDL. And it's sad that this test is not routinely available, as it lies at the heart of why LDL cholesterol is considered bad. All other tests just skirt around the issue of the oxidized LDL and may indirectly check for oxidized stress and inflammation. But only the oxidized LDL test is the true measure for the main cause of arterial plaque.
I need to bring this up again, Dr. McNamara. My doctor, as I told you, just told me I have a clean bill of health. As I said earlier, I eat healthy and I exercise. I don't feel sick at all. Do you really think that I should worry about getting the oxidized LDL test done?
Absolutely. I think everyone, whether healthy or not, whether they eat right or not, whether they have a high or normal cholesterol level, whether they take statins or antioxidants or both, it is my opinion that this test is so important that every person should be getting it twice yearly, at minimum every year.
So why do you say twice a year?
Because you can learn your true cardiovascular risk, which can change over several months. And with that knowledge, you can be proactive about it before oxidized LDL has a chance to do too much damage.
Like others, I've had my cholesterol levels checked numerous times, and my doctor has reviewed my level of bad cholesterol.
Hold on. Bad cholesterol? What cholesterol is the bad cholesterol, Molly?
You know, LDL is known as the bad cholesterol, and I guess from your reaction, that is not true.
Well, I don't blame you. It's what you hear every day on commercials and from doctors. Here's something to ponder. If LDL cholesterol is so bad, why do we even have it?
I'm not really sure. Is there any benefit to LDL cholesterol?
Well, one benefit is that LDL cholesterol keeps you alive. So the fact is, LDL cholesterol is inherently good. Without LDL cholesterol, you would die in a day. That's one of the reasons I don't get hung up on the actual level of LDL cholesterol. What I care about is whether LDL cholesterol is oxidized or not.
Dr. McNamara, would you explain more about cholesterol and why our bodies actually need it? And if we need it, why do doctors label it as bad?
Sure. Let's start with plain old cholesterol. Your body needs cholesterol. Every cell in your body needs cholesterol to provide stability to all your cell membranes. The cholesterol in the cell membrane allows the cell membrane's proteins and receptors to function properly. Cholesterol is so vital that your cells have receptors to grab cholesterol out of the bloodstream and utilize it in the cell membrane, as well as for hormone production and the repair process. Now, here's a problem. Cholesterol, which is made in your liver, is not soluble in the blood.
Not being soluble means that the cholesterol would not flow through the bloodstream, right?
Right. Since cholesterol is not soluble, a transport molecule is needed to carry the cholesterol from your liver through the bloodstream and deliver it to your cells. The molecule that carries and delivers the cholesterol consists of both lipid and protein and is called low-density lipoprotein, or LDL. LDL combined with cholesterol is what everyone knows as LDL cholesterol.
So LDL is like the mailman carrying packages of cholesterol and delivering it to the cells.
Yes, that's a good analogy. LDL combines with cholesterol in order to go into the bloodstream and be delivered to the cells throughout your body. So Molly, using your analogy of LDL being the mailman, or let's say mail truck, what would you label HDL, the molecule that picks up excess and unused cholesterol?
Well, I know that HDL brings cholesterol back to the liver for processing, so I guess HDL is the garbage truck picking up unused LDL lying around.
I like it. So we have the mail truck delivering cholesterol to the cells and the garbage truck taking excess cholesterol back to the liver. Both are necessary and both are good. LDL cholesterol got a bad rap because research found that those people with high levels of LDL cholesterol were more likely to have atherosclerosis and as a result develop heart disease and stroke. While that is a true correlation, high levels of LDL cholesterol is not the reason a person develops atherosclerosis. The whole reason a person with high LDL cholesterol is more likely to develop atherosclerosis is because there's more LDL cholesterol to get oxidized. But if the LDL is not oxidized, it will not develop plaque, nor develop disease, no matter what the level.
I guess you could say that if you had a lot of mail trucks working normally on the road, they would not block traffic. It is only when they break down do they cause congestion. As long as they don't break down, you can have as many on the road and all run smoothly.
Very nice. I like it. And you could have a few mail trucks on the road, and if several of them broke down, they would cause traffic jams. It is true that a person with a normal level of LDL cholesterol can develop atherosclerosis and die of heart disease or stroke. It's all a matter of whether the LDL cholesterol is oxidized. In fact, the majority of the people dying of heart disease have normal LDL cholesterol levels. The problem is, though the level is normal, the condition of the LDL cholesterol is not. It is oxidized, rusted, and broken down.
So, high LDL cholesterol is really just the secondary issue. The primary problem that leads to atherosclerosis and death is when the LDL cholesterol becomes oxidized.
Exactly. Research has shown that people can have elevated levels of LDL cholesterol and not develop arterial plaque because what LDL cholesterol they have is generally not oxidized. They have lower levels of oxidized LDL cholesterol.
So that's why you say the level of the LDL is essentially irrelevant compared to the level of oxidized LDL cholesterol.
Yes, you've got it. Statin drugs, which lower LDL cholesterol, have been shown to exert their benefits via mechanisms totally unrelated to lowering LDL cholesterol. Yes, statin drugs lower LDL cholesterol, but that is essentially irrelevant. As I said earlier, statin drugs accidentally exert their limited benefit by having a small antioxidant effect. In a meta-analysis of 97 double-blind controlled studies, which is the gold standard of studies, statin drugs were found to reduce the amount of LDL cholesterol, but only reduce the risk of cardiovascular death by 13% overall. And they exerted their effect because of their accidental slight antioxidant effect. Of course, in these double-blind controlled studies, fish oil by itself has been shown to reduce the risk of cardiovascular death by 22%. But let's accept there is some benefit to statins despite their potential serious side effects. Though, personally, I would go with the fish oil. It's just my opinion.
Wait a second. Fish oil has no negative side effects and works almost twice as well as reducing death from heart disease as statin drugs? And I would think the antioxidants have stronger antioxidant effects than statin drugs.
That's right, Molly.
Wow. Why doesn't everyone know that?
Well, many people and many doctors know this, but the word is not getting out, and that's why we're here today. Imagine what adding a full range of antioxidants could do to reduce the amount of oxidized LDL in the range and level I take, and you can start to get a full picture of what may be possible. And I'm glad you're getting this, and I hope everyone does, because this concept could make the difference between life and death. Knowing these facts is worth everything.
LDL cholesterol is good, and the level of LDL is not the real concern. One's risk for heart disease and stroke is mainly caused by the amount of oxidized LDL cholesterol.
And that is the blood test that I'm suggesting everyone gets as a part of their cardiac or lipid panel.
Most doctors are not aware of its existence, and most labs do not even offer oxidized LDL cholesterol. However, if doctors and patients were aware of the level of oxidized LDL cholesterol, it could change the whole approach to maintaining health.
Absolutely. That's the whole point. Studies show that oxidized LDL cholesterol is not only an independent risk factor for coronary artery disease, but it appears that it may be the single most predictive blood test for coronary artery disease. Certainly, there are many factors that lead to coronary artery disease or atherosclerosis. However, it is clear that the development of disease all comes down to the oxidation of LDL cholesterol and the resultant inflammation within the arterial wall. Very low-density lipoprotein, the smaller particles of LDL, are very susceptible to oxidation. In addition, the smaller the particles, the more easily they can get through the nicks and holes in the lining of the arteries where the inflammation can occur and ultimately lead to plaque. VLDL, or very low density LDL, subfractions of LDL, can get under the lining of the arteries, known as the endothelium, and cause an inflammation because it appears foreign to the immune system. An immunological cascade and dysfunction occurs that results in calcification of partially, and want for a better word, digested, oxidized LDL cholesterol that reaches its final stage in forming arterial plaque. Diabetes, smoking, stress, iron overload, infections, trans fats, and nutritional deficiencies all lead to excessive oxidized LDL cholesterol formation and ultimately plaque formation. Take away the causes that lead to oxidized LDL and you reduce your risk of disease. And that is why I suggest to check your oxidized LDL cholesterol with blood testing and do all you can, including eating healthy, exercise, reducing stress, and take a full spectrum of antioxidants to reduce the oxidized LDL.
Dr. McNamara, one thing I've heard people talk about and they just don't understand is why athletes or people that are generally in really good shape have heart attacks or get heart disease. Does it have anything to do with the oxidation in their body? Can you please explain that?
Yes, that's a good question. Exercise is good, but it also raises your metabolism that increases oxidation in the body, including oxidation of LDL. So rather than not exercising, athletes need to take even higher levels of a full range and spectrum of antioxidants, along with vitamins, minerals, and the omega-3 fatty acids, particularly coenzyme Q10 and grapeseed extract. And homocysteine is another factor, and another test I highly suggest to be part of one's regular blood work. And everyone has a homocysteine level, and if it is elevated, it can significantly increase the risk of heart disease and stroke. That's why I suggest everyone have their homocysteine level checked along with their oxidized LDL cholesterol.
Excuse me, Dr. McNamara, can you please explain a little more about homocysteine? If it is so important, why is it not routinely done?
Good question. It's been known for over 50 years that homocysteine is more associated with one's risk for heart disease than the cholesterol levels. However, there's not a drug to lower homocysteine, but there are drugs to lower cholesterol. So which test do you think doctors are going to be taught? The test that they can treat with drugs.
Wow, I have never thought about that.
Neither do most doctors. I didn't until I pulled back the curtain, so to speak. And in answer to your question, homocysteine is an amino acid complex produced by the liver. It is a molecule that damages the arteries, punching holes in the lining, and worse, it oxidizes LDL cholesterol. On that fact alone, I suggest you lower your homocysteine level below 7.0, preferably below 6.5.
Even though I represent a lab, I never knew the importance of homocysteine. I know it's available, but most doctors don't even order it.
I know, it's sad, because homocysteine nicks up and gouges the endothelium, which is the lining of the arteries. It essentially pokes holes in the arterial lining, allowing the very low-density LDL particles to get under and in the arterial wall just beneath the endothelium, where it induces an inflammatory reaction, which further oxidizes LDL cholesterol. And this inflammatory cascade of macrophage cells then gobble up the damaged or foreign LDL particles, and smooth muscles start to build up, and the waxy, partially digested LDL gets calcified. The end result is arterial plaque and the narrowing of arteries and the loss of elasticity. This is atherosclerosis.
You said there was no drug to lower homocysteine, and you suggest people test their homocysteine level in order to keep it less than 6.5. So what can they do?
Well, B-complex vitamins, in particular, folic acid, vitamin B6, and B12 help lower homocysteine. So does betaine and choline, as choline converts into betaine in the body. These nutrients lower and maintain a healthy homocysteine level. With less homocysteine, the less the endothelium is damaged, and the less LDL is oxidized. And Molly, as you know, most labs reference a normal homocysteine as anything less than 10.4.
Yeah, what's up with that? You're saying that normal is less than 6.5.
Well, no, I said that healthy is less than 6.5. Normal is anything above that, as that is what you find normally in the population. And normally, people die of cardiovascular disease. 1 out of 2 men and women die of cardiovascular disease, and that is what is normal today. So I suggest, don't be normal, be healthy.
So you're saying that even if the lab report says that my homocysteine is normal, and it happens to be 8 or 9, that I should be taking B-complex vitamins along with choline or betaine, enough to keep it below 6.5.
Exactly. And I'm okay with it as long as it is less than 7. Research has shown that for every 3 points above 6.5, there's a 33 to 35% increased risk of heart disease. So you could have a level of 9.5 and be at a 35% increased risk of heart disease and be told it's normal.
Oh my gosh, this is so important. Okay, so people should have their oxidized LDL cholesterol and homocysteine levels checked twice per year. Anything else? What about C-reactive protein? How does that relate to the risk of heart disease?
Yes, good question. C-reactive protein, or CRP, and also known as high-sensitivity C-reactive protein, is an indirect measure of inflammation. Very simply stated, inflammation leads to the release of C-reactive protein into the bloodstream. Anything that results in inflammation can increase C-reactive protein, such as arthritis, infections, and heart disease, to name just a few. When the inflammatory cascade is occurring in the arteries, C-reactive protein will often be elevated. Essentially, it lets us know that LDL is being damaged or oxidized and is getting below the arterial endothelium and initiating plaque formation. And although getting the test is helpful to identify and follow the inflammatory process, it is not as exact in the pinpointing the real risk for heart disease and stroke. Actually, it is possible to have a normal C-reactive protein and still have abnormally high and dangerous levels of oxidized LDL cholesterol. Therefore, although C-reactive protein is a helpful indicator, it is not the bullseye of what causes atherosclerosis or plaque buildup in the lining of the artery.
Okay, I think I'm getting it. It all comes back to the importance of oxidized LDL cholesterol. Since you've made it clear that oxidized LDL cholesterol is the main cause of most deaths, then I think it is a must to test for it and do something about it if it is elevated. So what do people do if their oxidized LDL is elevated?
Molly, research has shown that the polyphenolic compounds such as flavonoids, such as found in the grapeseed extract, resveratrol, olive fruit extract, turmeric extract, also known as curcumin, green tea extract, etc., protect LDL cholesterol from oxidative damage. Remember, without oxidized LDL, there would be no inflammation within the artery and plaque could not build up. It may be impossible to completely eliminate all oxidized LDL, but we should do all we can to keep it to a minimum with a full spectrum of vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, and omega-3 fatty acids.
How do you know if you're taking enough?
By checking your oxidized LDL cholesterol level and comparing it to your HDL cholesterol, checking your homocysteine, triglycerides, and C-reactive protein.
What if I take plenty of antioxidants and my LDL cholesterol is still high?
Well, as long as the oxidized LDL cholesterol to HDL cholesterol ratio is low, say less than 35, then you're at low risk. That is independent of your actual LDL cholesterol level. Also, I suggest to keep your homocysteine below 7. Now, I'll admit, there are cases in which someone has genetically severe high levels of LDL cholesterol or has had a prior history of a heart attack. And according to current understanding and the standard of practice, it is certainly appropriate for a doctor to prescribe a low-dose statin drug. However, if someone is on a statin drug, it is even more important to take generous doses of antioxidants, especially coenzyme Q10. And I suggest grapeseed extract, choline, green tea extract, N-acetylcysteine, olive extract, turmeric extract, alpha-lipoic acid, vitamins and minerals, and fish oil. So even if someone is on a statin drug, although it pains me to think of people on those drugs, it is still important to lower the oxidized LDL to HDL cholesterol ratio and homocysteine with nutritional supplementation. Again, in regard to oxidized LDL cholesterol and the level of LDL cholesterol, as you reduce or eliminate oxidized LDL cholesterol, the actual LDL cholesterol level becomes less relevant. Studies have shown that even in people that have high LDL cholesterol levels, they are not at increased risk of heart disease if their LDL cholesterol is not oxidized.
Dr. McNamara, I think you've said that several times already.
I know, and I'll keep saying it until people truly get it. It's amazing how much I talk about the importance of lowering one's oxidized LDL cholesterol and not be so focused on the level of LDL itself. And they get their blood work done and freak out because they have high cholesterol. Or worse, to think they're safe just because their LDL cholesterol levels are normal. According to Halvoet et al., in the CARDIA, or Cardiovascular Risk Development in Young Adult study, patients could have a normal LDL cholesterol ratio, but because they were found to have elevated oxidized LDL, they were at higher risk of future metabolic syndrome, which puts a person at risk for both diabetes and heart disease. That's why I pushed to have your lab, Molly, make oxidized LDL cholesterol and homocysteine testing widely available to everyone. I wanted it simple enough so that everyone, no matter where they live, can get their blood drawn and mail it in if needed in order to get this extremely important testing done.
So do I just need to get my oxidized LDL test done if I think I have heart disease or if there has been heart disease in my family?
My suggestion is that everyone check their oxidized LDL cholesterol to HDL cholesterol level, no matter what their personal or family history is. It should be standard for every person. Again, the test is called oxidized LDL, and since it's not widely available, I needed your lab to step up and make it available. And I hope this recording has informed you, the listener, and maybe your doctor as well, as to why I suggest you get your oxidized LDL cholesterol, and it should be less than 45. But even more predictive, look at the oxidized LDL to HDL cholesterol ratio and have it less than 35. And to make sure you're on track by checking those tests twice per year, along with the homocysteine, C-reactive protein, triglycerides, total cholesterol, HDL and LDL, and vitamin D. To me, these are the essential tests for a true cardiac profile.
Why do you suggest vitamin D as part of a cardiac profile?
Well, low vitamin D levels are associated with many diseases, including heart disease and cancer. So as unlikely as it sounds, a vitamin D level should be part of your cardiac profile, and the level should be kept between 50 and 100. I suggest taking whatever level of vitamin D it takes, whether it's 4,000, 8,000, or 10,000 international units per day, whatever is required to maintain your blood level, say around 75.
This is amazing, Dr. McNamara, because this really gives us the power to take care of our health and maintain heart health better than I could have ever imagined. If it's okay, I would like to run down the minimum labs you recommend and let people know how they can contact me if they wish to order the tests. You recommended total HDL and LDL cholesterol, and of course oxidized LDL cholesterol, and compare the oxidized LDL to the HDL cholesterol level. And you said that ratio should be less than 35.
Yes.
Okay, and the homocysteine, which should be less than 7, preferably less than 6.5. Triglycerides, C-reactive protein, and vitamin D. And your suggestion is to keep that around 75. Is that it?
Yes, that's it for the basic cardiac profile. And of course, there are other anti-aging panels, such as a complete metabolic panel, CBC, hormone profiles, and a pre-diabetic profile that I think are just as important for managing optimal health. But save that for another day. I think we've given enough information that people can start taking real control of their risks. Molly will tell you how to order these labs, but consider this. Grab a friend or family member, and whether they are taking supplements or not, compare blood tests. Better yet, have you or your friend do a before and after blood test and have them see the dramatic differences that can be achieved through healthy, low glycemic eating, exercise, and proper nutritional supplementation. If that doesn't make them a believer in supplementation, I don't know what will. Thanks for joining us today, Molly. I appreciate your assistance in this. To all of you, I wish you the very best in health. Molly?
Thanks, Dr. McNamara. You can get these tests by contacting us at 1-800-644-5159 or going to www.oxldltest.com. That's 1-800-644-5159 or www.oxldltest.com. Thank you so much.